I talked today to the founder of an innovative startup that is revolutionizing student financing with income share arrangements. Oh, and she is a second-year student at Harvard Business School who joined the class of 2020 through HBS 2 plus 2. Listen in for the details. Welcome to the 341st episode of Admissions Straight Talk, except it's a podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result, you get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in," and not only in, but in at the best program for you. At this point, I'm thrilled to invite you to get accepted to Columbia Business School, Accepted's last MBA webinar of the decade, which I will present tomorrow, Wednesday, December 11th. Acquire a framework that you can use for any top business school application, as well as focused, actionable tips for this year's Columbia MBA application. Save your spot today at accepted.com/CBSwebinar. Again, at accepted.com/CBSwebinar. Our guest today, Tess Michaels, has done a ton. I'm going to give you a few details and then let her fill in her story herself, as well as tell us about the new student financing startup she has founded and is now running. Tess graduated from Penn with a bachelor's in applied science and another bachelor's from the Wharton School in global impact investing and operations management. She has a long list of activities and offices held while at Penn, and in addition founded Sociana, a platform to democratize giving and promote corporate volunteerism. It was acquired in 2018. After graduation and being accepted to Harvard's 2 plus 2 program, she worked at Goldman Sachs as an analyst for 2 years and then at Vista Equity Partners as a private equity associate. She joined Harvard Business School in 2018 and immediately founded Stride Funding, which we will learn more about later in this interview. Tess, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thank you so much, Linda, and thank you for the warm introduction.
You're very welcome. Pleasure having you here today. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, what you like to do for fun, the non-businessy stuff?
Absolutely. So I grew up in Texas, so from Dallas, which is actually where our full-time team for Stride Funding is based, and have a big love for barbecue and sunshine, which being in Boston, definitely, you know, playing at that weakness of mine. And, you know, as far as what I love to do for fun, I love going to comedy shows, seeing live music, going to the movies, and occasionally baking really great desserts, given my big sweet tooth. So, yeah.
All right. What's your favorite movie?
I love Good Will Hunting. It's a classic.
Okay. All right. Great. Why did you decide to get two bachelors at Penn?
Yeah. So, you know, growing up, you know, I actually started my young years in more of the science space. So at the time, I used to compete nationally in different science fairs. I did a lot of research in the Alzheimer's space, but I always had this inkling that I, you know, would enjoy business and hadn't gotten as much exposure to it. And Penn had a really unique dual degree program where I could study biology in the college. And then, as you mentioned, impact investing and operations in Wharton. And I thought it was just an incredible opportunity. And while there, it's where I really discovered my love for entrepreneurship and got to, you know, learn by doing and kind of test those skills out. So it was an amazing opportunity.
And how did you decide to apply to Harvard's 2 plus 2 program?
Yes, as a junior at Penn, I had met with a few upperclassmen who had applied to 2 plus 2 and talked to me about some of the benefits. And for me, I realized the value of the business classes I had taken at Wharton. But what I saw at Harvard was an opportunity to learn from a very global peer set, as well as really benefit from the case method, which was quite different from a lot of other institutions that I'd seen. And 2 plus 2 really gave me the opportunity to have the flexibility to pursue work, which I believe built my skill set for a few years before going to business school, with the comfort that I knew that I had the opportunity to go to HBS. And so looking back, I think it was a great decision, and I couldn't be happier about it.
Would you have done anything differently in terms of your post-college career if you had not gotten accepted to HBS 2 plus 2?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think that regardless of 2+2, going into investment banking, right after college was a great way for me to get up the sharp learning curves, build my technical toolkit. Oh, yeah. I think that was, really interesting. I'd kind of gone back and forth with roles that I thought, taught students early in their careers really important skills, so consulting, investment banking. So I do think I would have probably gone down that path. I think for me, having 2+2 let me decide that while I loved finance, I really missed the operating seat. And so I kind of had a second chance of being able to go to HBS, have this accelerator to be part of and kind of launch my career at that point. But it's a great question.
Okay. Do you remember anything particularly challenging about your MBA application process? Obviously for you, it was several years ago because you did do 2+2, but was there anything that stands out in your mind?
So I think 2+2 is interesting because you're applying, when you're quite a bit earlier in your career, and you haven't had formal work positions. And so for me, one of the interesting things was thinking through who would be most relevant for my letters of recommendation. I clearly had a lot of strong relationships with professors at Penn, but I wanted to show what I was like in a work setting. I think I had the benefit of growing and running Sociana, my first startup, while at Penn. And so through that, I had a lot of folks who had seen me in action and could vouch for me. But I think, being able to be thoughtful there was really important. And the second was really crafting the right story, which I think, thinking through your career path at such an early age and being able to map out why business school is relevant and where it would take you was, a good way to force myself to be thoughtful early on. But those were definitely two of the levers I think were challenging, but also forced me to soul search in a way.
Right. And now that you're at Harvard, well, I have two questions, but I'll ask one at a time. Okay. What do you like most about being at Harvard Business School?
Man, I've loved my time at HBS so far. I'd say number one, the people I'm surrounded by are completely inspiring. 40% of the class is international, and I think that just brings an entirely different perspective to the classroom setting. Second is, I think the experiences, the trips that you take in business school are really valuable. What's amazing to me is, people talk about how you get to travel internationally a lot. What they don't mention is these trips are led by, your fellow classmates who are from those countries. So you go to Colombia, you're led by, a classmate who's born and brought up in Colombia and really is able to show you the local experience. And I think that adds a really nice lens to it. And then the last thing is, I think having the opportunity to grow Stride while at school has completely shaped my experience and made HBS very similar to an accelerator where I'm constantly taking advantage of and learning from all of the amazing professors on campus, the entrepreneurs in residence, and the resources that HBS provides for us.
Is there anything that you'd like to see improved at HBS?
Yeah. When I step back, I think the first year experience is really valuable as far as building the community, given it's a section experience. So you have a class of 90 students that you take every class with. I think that when we think about, the types of classes you're taking, a lot of it overlapped with my undergraduate business training, marketing, finance, accounting. And second would probably be the diversity of cases, right? So the types of protagonists we're seeing and finding, folks that have enough diverse experiences to relate to how diverse the student body themselves are. So.
Well, that kind of leads to my one question that's been in the back of my mind. One is, you had an undergraduate degree from Wharton. You worked at Goldman Sachs. Outstanding experience. You started already a startup and sold it before you started at Harvard. Are you actually learning things at Harvard Business School? Besides, not just the accelerator experience. I'm talking about the classes.
Yes. I would say there's not a day that I regret going to HBS. I think that the classes I'm taking, this year have been incredibly valuable and taught by practitioners, not just professors, but professors who have been incredibly successful in their careers and are just a really great, great individuals for us to learn from. So, this year I'm taking classes like tech sales. It's very rare to actually learn what are the best practices to selling. Most of the time people say, is it genetic or some people just better than others? No, there's really ways to refine that toolkit. Creating brand value, really about the fact that a business is about its brand and the community that you create around that. And how do you think about that? So I think The classes I've taken have been very different this year, in particular, compared to traditional undergraduate business classes. And second, the case method is, you know, in my opinion, incredibly unique. The professors are not doing the teaching. You're learning from your fellow peers that have, have a collective experiences that in a lifetime no individual could have themselves. And so we're learning from folks who served in the military, folks who worked at, you know, firms like Tesla or high growth startups or in corporations that have very different missions and visions. And I think that has been invaluable for my learning experience.
Okay, great answer. Thank you. Yeah. Did you, when obviously you had Sociana as an undergrad, you worked at Goldman Sachs. Did you know when you came to Harvard that you wanted to start another new business?
I did. So part of the reason for me deciding to accept that offer to come to Harvard was because I realized, you know, I loved my time at Vista and Goldman, but I really missed the operating seat. And I had this itch to get back into entrepreneurship. And I saw HBS as a great launchpad to do it. And so I spent the few months before HBS really thinking through, you know, what are problems that I'm really passionate about, areas with large addressable markets, fast growth, and also real pain points that I thought, I would never go through a day without thinking it was the right decision to pursue, trying to solve. And so I'd been working on Stride for a few months before HBS and then really built it while here.
So you already knew that was the direction you wanted to take. And how did you think of the idea of income share and the whole thing? I mean,
So I will say, you know, going through the ideation process was very raw at first. You know, I was asking anyone and everyone, you know, if you could solve any one problem in your life, what would it be? I was asking Uber drivers. I was asking friends. I was asking people, you know, at random casual, you know, outings. And I kept hearing this recurring theme of, the cost of education has just become so high. And I think, you know, that has made the decision to go back to graduate school that much tougher. And as I started talking to a lot of my peers who were about to go into HBS, I really saw that pain point there as well. So, you know, I spent a few months really ideating and incubating the idea, doing field research, and then came to HBS ready to go with kind of the right business model, the right problem, and then I really needed to launch the platform itself. So, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to ask more about launching in a minute, but what is Stride Funding? How does it work? Let's just go there for a minute.
Absolutely. So Stride Funding is a student financing company. So we offer an alternative to traditional student loans via income share agreements, also known as ISAs. So the whole concept around it is traditional loans are fairly rigid. As a student, you take a traditional loan, it accrues interest while you're in school. Right when you graduate, when you're earning the least, you're paying, you know, quite a bit. And during the downtimes of your life, you know, let's just say you get laid off or you go on maternity leave or you take a gap year, you're forced paying these really hefty interest payments. So the whole idea here was, how do we find a way to align the cost and value of education? I mean, if we step back and think about it from a student's perspective, educational institutions expect us to pay schools up front, and then the whole burden is on the student to make sure that the cost of that education is worth it and the outcomes are real. And so income share agreements completely align the cost and value of education, and I'm happy to go into the structure of how they work.
Please.
Yeah, absolutely. So the way an income share agreement works is essentially, we will help students get, you know, funding for their school years. And then once
first of all, it's graduate education that we're talking about right now.
So, MBAs, master's students in engineering, statistics, nurses, physician's assistants, any grad program you can think of. And essentially the concept is when students need funding for school, we're able to offer that. And in return, we take a fixed percentage of their income over a set number of years. It's a very small percentage, single digit, over 5 years, which is much shorter than a traditional loan, which usually is 10 plus years.
Sure.
And in effect, you know, this really allows a lot more flexibility for the student. When you graduate, you're paying, you know, the lowest amount. And if you do come across hard times, you owe nothing during those periods. And lastly, the incentives are aligned. So everyone wants the student to succeed. We do well if the student does well. So in addition, we've really built in a lot of community resources for the students. So we have recruiters on the platform, resume services. We're building a peer-to-peer network, ways to really help optimize the outcomes for students and show them that, look, funding is step one. We're really here for your whole career. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So the income share agreement only lasts for 5 years?
Yes. It's much shorter than a traditional loan. And
oh, much.
Which by, you know, a traditional loan is 10 plus years. And so that was the whole point is, look, you know, when we talked to students and we figured out what levers they really cared about, they want shorter durations. They don't want to have, you know, families and still have these loans that they're repaying, right? And so I think this is just, it makes sense. It's a win-win for everyone.
Okay. It almost sounds like the, like Stride Funding is becoming a silent partner with the student.
Exactly right. That was our
taking an equity position almost in the education.
Exactly. It's like how you treat a startup, right? Investors nurture their startups. They really want them to succeed. In a sense, it's like every student is a startup where we really want to invest in you as an individual and invest in your success. And we have a real incentive to do so.
And how much, or do you have an estimate, like if how much Stride Funding would be saving its clients?
Yeah. So from a cost perspective, we end up being about the same price as a traditional loan, but with all the downside protection, right? So it's like buying insurance with your product and then all of the upside advantages of this community and having resume services and recruiters built in without any additional cost. And so that's the real goal, is to really help students get the best jobs, you know, never worry about, can I afford my, you know, education? And lastly, to really know that everyone's invested in them. So, yeah.
And are the, I mean, most of the specialties that you mentioned in terms of being eligible for Stride Funding are either STEM fields or professional degrees. Do you ever fund an academic degree in the humanities without picking on anybody in particular?
Yes. So we're right now actually speaking with a few social impact investors that are particularly interested in funding master's students in the arts, in education, in a lot more of your broader fields that we think are really important, nonprofit education, social work, et cetera, as well as more of your humanities like English, history. And that is exactly one of the growth areas that we're looking into right now.
Okay. How has the Harvard Incubator Lab and the Rock Center and Harvard's other entrepreneurial resources played a role in the founding and the launching? I know you recently got your first round of funding. I believe what was the first round? What role has Harvard played?
Yeah, so I think a few of the areas that Harvard's been incredibly helpful with is, A, I've been able to meet professors that have incredible networks and have given me a lot of guidance. And so I'm kind of learning from their own careers. And that's really gotten me up the learning curve a lot quicker. Actually, one of my professors, Jeff Busgang, is my IP advisor. He introduced us to a lot of investors that have now invested in both our actual company as well as investors that are interested in funding students themselves. So that's been incredibly helpful. Second is really about ideating and having, you know, folks who really keep you accountable about the metrics that you say you're going to hit and the growth plans that you have built in. So the Rock Accelerator, we have weekly meetings where we meet with entrepreneurs and residents, and we're able to get feedback and also learn from other peers who are pursuing startups. And I think that community, especially when we're all, you know, putting our all into this, this is kind of our life. Having peers who are in similar boats is really amazing as a community in and of itself. And then the last thing I would think about is the ability to be on a campus where my target, you know, segments are graduate students really has allowed Stride to be a for students, by students platform where I see the pain point every day. I'm able to really be in the trenches with peers, and also in Boston, which has an incredible, you know, number of students and universities that are so clustered, and that's been really valuable as well.
Now, just to go back to your model for a second, are individual investors investing in individual students, or are you pooling money and then lending?
It's more of the latter. So we've essentially created a large fund to fund students. These are institutional investors. So it's enough capital to fund thousands of students. And we are now really focused on just allocating based on segments, right? So, you know, one segment can be MBAs, one segment can be nurses, one segment can be master's students in engineering, but we're really able to be pretty flexible with how we underwrite students and stay disciplined so that we are student-centric with investors that are not hand-picking students or changing the rates. Everything's fair for the students.
So it's pooled.
Exactly.
Okay, got it. And how do you, going back to your story, how do you manage demands of business school and running a business?
Yeah, I will say it is it is a lot. You sacrifice a lot of sleep for one. But I think, you know, for me, the primary things are, A, like my classes are really well aligned with the startup. Every single class I'm taking this semester is completely relevant to Stride. So I'm taking entrepreneurial sales and marketing, completely focused on selling and thinking about how you, create a real value prop to your target segments. Creating brand value was great when we were thinking about the community we want to build with Stride and what's our voice, right? So that's been a huge benefit. The second is really just, having an amazing team to work with. So we have a really great full-time team, and I could not have picked a better group of people that care more about this business and care more about this pain point. We are just always in constant communication. I can depend on them with my life. We're doing a big retreat with the whole team in Dallas this January, and it's a week where the whole team is just together. We'll be doing.
It'll be warmer.
It'll be definitely warmer. That's deciding if we do it in Boston or Dallas, and Dallas quickly won out. But you know, it's just an amazing group of people, and we keep each other accountable, energized, and just really focused on why we all joined Stride in the first place. And I think that's been amazing. So. Look, it is a challenge. It is tough to balance, but this is my number one priority. And I think you just find ways to make it work, especially if you're surrounded with, you know, the right kind of people who care. So, yeah.
Great. Thank you. What are your plans for the future? How do you see yourself growing Stride Funding? And do you see perhaps trying to extend it to other funding needs, mortgages? Mortgages now are low, but there was a time that they were an enormous pain point. We're lending for assets that appreciate.
It's like you've been listening into our meetings. I think there is a lot of different growth vectors that we think about. We're really focused.
Undergrad.
Completely. We're initially focused really on staying disciplined and saying student loan market is already such a huge industry and such a big point. I mean, we hear about it in the political debates. We hear about it in the news every single day. People are trying to find ways that are alternatives to traditional loans to tackle this problem. So we already have our work cut out for us. You know, there's so much demand, and we're really just focused on fulfilling that first. You're right. We probably will expand to undergraduate students as we grow. And then we will also look at offering different types of products within the student financing space. Right now we're finalizing our second product. So we launched with our origination product. So students going into school or who are currently in school without to launch a refinancing product. So students who have already graduated who are like, look, I wish I had known about Stride, you know, when I was in school, but I want to convert all of my traditional loans into one clean income share agreement instead of having, you know, your federal loan, your grad plus loan, your SoFi loan, just one clean loan into one income share agreement, much more manageable. So that'll be exciting to get up and running. And then beyond that, we look at other pain points in the market for other financing products where folks who are looking at their other life decisions need support and think an income share agreement might be the right structure. So,
okay. Yeah. And when do you think like the refinance option will be available, or is it, it's not available yet, right?
Yeah, so we plan on launching it in 2020. So the product's not done.
Around the corner.
It's around the corner. Our team is on full go mode right now. And right now we're just focused on also gearing up for this mini peak winter period for students starting January programs. And then, of course, the big summer period for students who are, you know, getting accepted right now into graduate school or who have already completed their first year and are looking for the next year funding. So there's a lot of good places for us to be spending our time.
We're already hearing from applicants who are accepted, our clients, you know, who have been accepted, say, to medical school in particular, but even a couple of business school also already. You know, you have Columbia's early decision program.
That's good.
So you're going to start really gearing up with as more acceptances come out. What would you have liked me to ask you?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I think your questions were great and really hit on it.
Thank you.
No, really. I think for me, I think maybe it'd be interesting to just talk about what I think a good team looks like, because so much of running this business and delivering is based on this incredible team that we've built.
Go for it. I'd love to hear it.
Happy to tell you about it. You know, I really want to do a shout out to the incredible group of people that we've brought together at Stride Funding. You know, my partner in crime, Patrick Connor, he's been in the student lending space for, you know, over 25 years and has seen it through the volatility of having worked in companies like SoFi, in big banks. And, you know, what I've really appreciated is he always keeps us really disciplined on, you know, making sure our underwriting is always fair, is always for the student first. We also have, you know, aside from our full-time team, which we have five of us now, we have an amazing group of students at Harvard College. And they could not bring more energy or more passion to the cause. And despite having school, the amount of time they put in makes me feel like that this is all they do every day. And it's pretty incredible. And I think with hiring the right people, it's first mission focused and saying, you know, these are not just people who have the right skill set, but it's people who really care and who understand the pain points and, you know, always have the student in mind. And then the second is people who are willing to prioritize this and, you know, it's never is this a work priority or a life priority, but this really blends in where we're always thinking about this. We're always messaging each other with new ideas, fresh insights. And I think that dynamic has just made us a really cohesive group that that cares and, you know, is ready to do some big things. So, yeah.
Sounds like you put the why first. But I'd like you to, one thing, what do you define as the mission of Stride Funding? We haven't asked that.
I think for us, you know, we talked about the funding piece and the structure, but the whole idea of Stride was, you know, as you probably see on my shirt, is, you know, fund your future, hit your stride. And it's all about that journey for the student, being part of every step of their journey through their education, through their career. And that's why, you know, this community aspect is so important to us, where we said funding is step one, but where do we go from there? And how do we ensure that students are able to really be successful and that we, like you said, are a partner with them every step of the way. So
do you anticipate a continuing relationship with your clients even after they pay off their loan? And how would that relationship evolve?
I completely do. I think there's a few ways. One is, you know, we want to continue to build this peer-to-peer network. But half of the reason that many of us go to graduate school, like business school, is for that incredible network of peers that are in similar fields as you. And so I think continuing to build that within our student groups is really important. And second is around the other offerings that we'll continue to build. So whether it's refinancing products or it's mortgage products or it's other financing products, these are the very same students once they graduate that know us, that trust us, and that think this is a really flexible, effective vehicle to make their life a little easier. And so we can see them as students who continue to, once they graduate, be part of our community and part of our product offerings as well.
Right. Oh, now I see it. Now I see, you know, then you can get into retirement funding at some point.
The entire trajectory, end to end.
Right. Yeah, for sure. That is fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I really want to thank you for your time today. It's really eye-opening what you have planned and what you are doing, not just what you have planned. I don't want to impose on your generosity any further, and I want to thank you so much for joining me and sharing your MBA and entrepreneurial story with our listeners. Where can listeners find out more about saving money on student financing with Stride Funding?
We'd love for you to visit our site at stridefunding.com, and we also have a really active Facebook and Instagram page. And we really try to stay educational in our content. And so, you know, there's a lot of really good material there. And we'd love to just have you kind of be part of our community and join the Stride squad. So thank you.
Okay, sounds good. We're going to link to Stride Funding from the show notes at accepta.com/341. Listener, I want to thank you, too, for joining Tess Michaels and me for Admissions Straight Talk's 341st episode. If you find the show worthwhile, I have a favor to ask. Please tell your friends about the podcast. Your doing so helps us spread the news about Admission Straight Talk. And a quick reminder, don't miss the upcoming Get Accepted to Columbia Business School webinar. You can reserve your seat now by registering at accepted.com/CBS webinar. Remember, it's tomorrow, December 11th. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.